Lord. Thank you, Tiny, for that beautiful song. It's one of those, though, that the music started up again. I was wondering if he was going to start singing again, you know, just keep on going. Man, you did a fantastic job, and praise the Lord. And that's the question for us today. Had we rather have Jesus than anything else? Let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning, or just take the bulletin. It's printed there in your bulletin on the right-hand side of the inside at the bottom, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and 30. We have been, it's unbelievable that we're already in a new year, trying to learn how to write 2018 on our text. We got that, and now we're having to write two for the month of February. It's already here, and we always think of February as Valentine's month, right, as the love month. And so what are we going to look at in the Word of God for the month of February? Well, for this month, we're going to be looking at loving God. And loving God specifically the way Jesus told us to love the Lord our God. And this comes from the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then it's repeated often in the scriptures, in the synoptic gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well. There are a few differences that we're going to look at later. But basically it is this Shema, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind and strength. Shema Yisrael is the what we're going to be looking at. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. In honor of the word of God, let's stand together. And one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, read this with me, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings on the reading as well as the proclamation. Scott Grogan, if you will you please lead us in that prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning again, thanking you for allowing us to be in your house and learn more about your word. Be with Pastor Brian this morning. He delivers the word, Lord. Give us receptive hearts, receptive ears to channel that word into us, Lord. Again, thank you for who you are, Lord. We ask this all in your son's holy name.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so we're going to look at this text for the next 3 weeks, today and the next 3 weeks, on loving God. Specifically today, we're going to look at loving God with all of our hearts. Now, here's the crux. Here's where it really hits home. Do any of us really love God with all of our hearts? Can we truly testify, stand and say, that without a shadow of a doubt, for all of my life, all of my days, I have loved God with my entirety, with all of my heart? You and I know exactly what the Bible refers to when it speaks of our hearts. It refers to the center of our being. It refers to the very core of who we are. It's out of the very core of who we are that we have values, and from our core, we make our decisions each and every day, the day that we live. Yesterday, I spent some time, shared some this with you. I spent some time out in my front yard. As long as we've lived in the house in which we live, for the year and a half we've been there, there is a pine tree that has just been nagging at me, bothering me. I've wanted it dead. And so yesterday, I went and got 2 more inches onto my chainsaw, because my chainsaw was just still too little. And yet I tackled that tree, but not it tackled alone. Jonathan was right there with me, dragging off the logs with a tractor and chopping up the limbs and removing them. And it was a beautiful sight to stand and see that it had been removed. Out of the core of my being, I'm really not a fan of pine trees. I don't like them looming over my house, that when a storm comes, they may fall and damage the house and crush me within it. That's my value system. For 18 years, there is somebody else that has lived in that house, and out of the core of their being, they love trees. Matter of fact, they love trees so much that when we're standing out looking at the house, I asked where the septic tank is, and the man told me, great man, He said the septic tank runs, the field lines run out of the septic tank right out here beside the house. He said, we didn't want to damage any trees while we're putting in the septic tank. I thought, damage any trees? I don't want the septic tank to stop up. And out of the core of my being, I'm thinking, man, these trees have got to go. They're going to leave. What's in the core of your being? In the core of your being, there are certain values of which you make your decision. Our number one value ought to be this, that we love God. We love God for all who He is. And it's because of our love of God that He has changed our life and changed how we live. You say, well, what if there's no God at all? If there's no God at all, I've wasted this life. But if there's no God at all, and you believe that, you've wasted all of eternity. Amen? We, out of the core of our being, ought to love God with all of our heart. So Jesus, we'll get into this a little bit later on, but Jesus explains this, or He gives this to that young lawyer, to that young attorney, the one who is engrossed in the law. Jesus tells him, this is the law of God. This is what we believe. And this young man was trying to stump Jesus, trip Jesus up. But Jesus gives him the very truth. He gives him the truth, again, to remind him that nobody can measure up to this law. Nobody can live fully according to this law. And yet we know that this is where we find life. This is where we find the light for life. And this is where we find blessings. So what is it that we do? My grandfather had heart problems. My grandfather, Verdon Crisp, my paternal grandfather. And I remember and when I was a young man, he went for the first time to UAB in Birmingham, Alabama, when bypass surgery was relatively new. And you know that UAB is a practicing hospital. That is where students learn to practice medicine. And I remember my dad setting us down as young teenagers and saying, don't you dare tell Papaw that they're practicing medicine at this hospital. And Papaw went into the hospital and he went to that four bypass surgery. And all of his family, we were gathered there through the procedure, through this surgery. And thank the Lord he came out healthy and much better after the surgery. But I'll never forget in the weeks to follow, the doctor had given him a very strict diet. Now, when you went to my mamaw's house, her mission, her goal in life was to have fat grandkids. And my grandmother, she worked, but she still made sure that we had breakfast. And she made those great old big homemade biscuits. She made the eggs, and she made the eggs the right way in grease, right? And they would come out with all that grease on them, still runny in the middle. And she had bacon and she had sausage. And as soon as we were done eating all of that, we would go to the freezer where she had every kind of Mayfield's popsicle imaginable. And she also had those Pepperidge Farms little coconut cakes. I don't like those now, but I loved them at my mamaw's house. And it just seems like, you know, they were not very big cakes. And you could just take one big old bite and eat that whole cake at one time. She would have plenty of those. She loved to feed us. So Papaw came out of the surgery, and the doctor had him on a strict diet, and he would be sitting there at the table. It was a green table. I'll never forget it. We were sitting in the old house. And he would start to put something on his plate, and my mamaw would say, Verdon, that was his name, Verdon, you can't have that. And she would really quickly rake it off in our plate like we needed it, right? And so we would eat it. So Papaw's heart would be healthy. And my Papaw told her name was Ernestine, and he called her Teen. He said, Teen, I went 65 years on that old heart. Now I got a new one, and I can go 65 more. Well, in the later years, you know, we had to take Papaw often to have his heart checked. Some of you have to have your physical heart checked. This morning, may we check our spiritual hearts, amen? And ask God, what condition is my spiritual heart in? Because it may be time that we do some bypass surgery on our hearts. It may be time that our values, the core of our being, isn't really flowing through our heart. We're really not seeing the will of God working in our lives as we should. We're not really not seeing the fruits of a heart that is filled with God. And so when you go to scriptures, the scriptures are full of scripture over and over and over again that speak of the heart. And so I've just grabbed a few this morning. There's no way I can give you a full list, but let me just, as best as I can. give you some a list of what the scriptures say, how you and I might have a healthy heart. The first thing I wanted to give you is notice that the healthy heart believes. The healthy heart believes. And the scripture I want to give to you is a very familiar scripture. Most of these are, but this is found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know this. Those of you who went through faith training, you memorized this. Romans 9 or 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus says, Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. There's no way we can have the heart of God unless, first of all, we believe in what God has done for us. You and I cannot live up to every jot and tittle of the law. And if we do not live up to every jot and tittle of the law, even though we may be good people in someone's eyes, you and I have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And the Bible says that we will experience destruction. We will experience damnation. We will experience eternity apart from God in a place called hell. Now, I can't get around that, and you can't either. The Bible is very clear on this picture. So what is it that we do? The Bible tells us we believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life and did go by every jot and tittle of the law. And Jesus the Christ was crucified on the old rugged cross, which became a sacrifice or a propitiation for your sins and my sins. So on the cross, he paid our sin debt. Well, so be it. He's put in the grave. That's not the end of the story. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh, rose victoriously over sin and death. He rose from the grave. It's very important to remember that. It's very important to believe that. And Jesus the Christ ascended and is seated at the right hand of God the Father because his work on earth is finished, but in heaven it's still going on. For the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 14, that he is preparing a place for us to go to be with him. The Bible tells us he is interceding on our behalf to the Father because you and I in our sinful nature cannot go straight to God the Father, but through Jesus the Christ who paid for our sins, we can go to the Father and the Father hears us. A healthy heart is a heart that believes that God is. A healthy heart is a heart that believes that Jesus did what he said he did. A healthy heart puts all of our trust in him. So that's the second thing. A healthy heart trusts in Jesus the Christ. Now there are a lot of scriptures that speaking of the trust of Jesus Christ. Jot this down. If you're writing scriptures down, jot down Psalm 31, 13 to 16. Write down, this is a familiar one, write down Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. But if you're turning in your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, and let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews 10 and verse 22, read this. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Let us trust in the Lord with a sincere heart, a heart that has been changed by God, a heart that has been cleaned by God. Psalm 51 is another great text to look at. We come before the Lord and he cleans our heart. And as he cleans our heart, we begin to trust him all the more. What do you do when you get a new puppy? I ought to know. I've had 1,000 puppies in my life. We're dog poor at our house. You get that puppy, and the first time, most of them, you know, they're like, let's get out of here, let's go. But occasionally you get that puppy that's a little bit afraid of you, right? And what do you do with that puppy? You take the puppy home, and you put it in the bath, and you wash it really good. And that's torture. And you take it to the vet, and they give it all those shots, and that's torture. And then you wrap it up in the warm blanket, and you hold it very near to you, right? As you're holding that puppy near to you, that's something very neat takes place. That puppy begins to trust in you. So that now no matter what you do or what you say, that puppy knows that you're going to take care of them. The puppy knows that you're going to love them. And you begin to feed the puppy and take care, make provisions for the puppy, right? It's the same thing with God. As we draw near to God, even though we go through pain and suffering in this life, as we draw near to God, God just holds us very tightly and close and warmly. And we find out that God brings provisions for us. In our prayer time today, we thanked God for all that He has done for us. How do we thank God for the roof over our head, the food on our table? If you're not thankful, go on a mission trip to Africa. Amen?
Amen.
Go there and eat their food for a little while. Live. I've been there in the mud shacks. Live there in the mud shacks for a couple of weeks. These people don't get to live there for a few weeks and then go back to America. They got to stay there all the time. We are blessed in this nation. And thanks be to God for providing everything that we have. And so that the heart that is healthy spiritually is a heart that believes and is a heart that trusts that God is going to take care of us, bless us in every situation that we're in, even in the tough times, even in the hard times. God has got us. And whatever we're going through, God is going to use it for good. Whatever we're going through, God is going to use it for His glory. Trust that God has it. A third thing, a healthy heart treasures His word. And there's a couple of these as well. Psalms. Most of them are written by David, the Psalms of David, the man who was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. It's recorded even in the book of Acts. But Psalm 119, in verse 11, we read this. Psalm 119, in verse 11, the word of God to us. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How many times do you and I go to our sins over and over and over again? The Bible says in the Proverbs that we're like an old dog that returns to his vomit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We say, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. And yet the next thing you know, we're doing it over and over and over and over again. The only way to break that cycle, the only way to break that habit, the only way is to fill our hearts with the Holy Word of God. And every time that we sin, we confess it and we go back to the Word of God and we fill our hearts with the Word of God. David said in his writings, I'm going to be very careful what I put in front of my eyes. Some of us just live in this old world and we let anything come in before our eyes and it fills our hearts, it fills our souls, it fills the core of our being. So now the filter of our life, our values, everything goes through this core. And what's it picking up? It's picking up not the values of God, but the values of this old world. The sin nature, right? So we have to guard our hearts, the Bible says, and be careful what we put in our hearts, but fill our hearts with the things of God. Fill our hearts with the Scripture. How many of you have picked up the Bible and you look at this thing and you say, boy, this is a big old book, and you put it back down and you don't read it? Some of you don't like to read. Some of you don't want to read. Some of you will read as long as it's got a kinky picture on the front of the little paperback, but you're not going to read this, right? Oh, yikes. And some of you only read what you have to at school, what they make you read. We ought to be reading this book every day. If you can't read all of it, read what you can. Say, I can't read the Bible through in a year. Well, read some of it at least every day. Read it. So that you're ingesting it. Your heart is being filled with the Word of God. Write it down. Make notes on it. Put post-its all over the house so that you see it. Fill your home with the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that changes our hearts. It's the Word of God that fills our hearts. So that now as we're going through life and our life is being filtered through our heart, we're making decisions based on the Word of God, not making decisions based on this old flesh. Another way that we can tell if we've had a healthy heart is the Bible tells us that a healthy heart does not doubt. And I love this text. Back in the book of Mark where we were, in Mark chapter 11, and look at verse 23, Mark 11, 23. Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in the center core of his being, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Now, when I used to read that text, I'll be honest with you, I thought this was like a magician type thing, right? You could look at that hymn and you could say abracadabra, kooky booky, and it'd go over to it'd be moved to another place, right? Now, I grew up in the era that we had Bewitched, right? And my pastor, I remember saying to the pulpit, don't watch Bewitched, that's of the devil. And I was best friends with his son, and I remember being over his house one day and us sitting in the living room watching Bewitched together. Us pastors are human, aren't we? And old Bewitched, that little baby Bewitched Tabitha, she couldn't twinkle her nose like her mama, so she'd take her finger, she'd twinkle that nose and make things happen. I thought this was what the word, it was supernatural or something. It is supernatural, but it's more than that. I remember going to Israel and listening to what people said and talking about how King Herod had moved mountains because he's the great builder of the land of Israel. And the things that he built over 2,000 years ago, you can still see the remnants of today. It's fascinating. It's wonderful. And one of the greatest one of those is the Herodian, which is over in the Judea and Samaria territory, the Palestinian territory, with the Palestinian Authority. And so the traveling over there is a little bit different than traveling in the rest of Israel. But I said, nonetheless, I always wanted to go there. And I remember one of the last trips I took a couple times ago. I said, I'm going to the Herodian, like it or not. And so people says, we want to go there too. And so we all joined together. We went to the Herodian. It's a beautiful, wonderful sight. And some historians say maybe this is what Jesus was thinking of when he says, if you say to that mountain, be moved over there, it will happen. It's not something magical that happens, but you set your heart to do it, and you pray, and you and God together can accomplish great things. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, I believe sometimes in church we look at things wrong. We say, oh, Lord, bring people to our church. Lord, you do it. And we just expect that God is going to miraculously pick somebody up out of bed on Sunday morning, and that would be a miracle in itself for some of us, right? And magically bathe them and dress them and put them in their car, and they come to church and they walk in the door and say, well, how'd I get here? We got to pray for God to add to our church, but we got to go get them too. Amen. And so this text is about not doubting what God can do, putting your heart into it, but not leaving everything up to God, working with God to accomplish great things for God and for His glory. Oh, what a beautiful thing that is. So a healthy heart is a heart that doesn't doubt, but trusts God, as we've looked at, believes God, as we looked at, and now works with God to accomplish great things. We in our churches need to see people that are full of faith rather than full of doubt that God can do anything. You know why we doubt? It's not that we believe God can't. We don't believe that we want to, right? It's not that we don't have the trust and faith in God. We just don't want to join Him in what He's doing. Number five, a healthy heart worships gratefully. I love that one. We gratefully worship the Lord. Psalm 86. If you're jotting these down or you're looking in your Bibles, go to Psalm 86 and verse 12. And look at this text. Psalm 86, 12. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. Verse 13, for your loving kindness towards me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. What is the psalmist doing? He is praising God. What is the psalmist doing? He is worshiping God. So worship is something that happens out of the core of our being. Worship is something that happens out of the center of our hearts, right? It's out of the heart that overflows good, or it's out of the heart that overflows evil, Jesus tells us. So when we come to worship, it's out of our heart that we worship the Lord. Brothers and sisters, don't put that kind of pressure on your pastor that you were worshiping. Don't put that kind of pressure on Judith that you're worshiping, right? You know, if Judith picks a song out of this hymnal, it's a psalm of praise. Don't worry about the style. Don't worry about the way the song is sung. Think about the words and think about your own heart and give it back to the Lord, singing about Him, and some songs singing to Him about how great He is, how He loves us, the wonderful attributes of our God and King. So worship doesn't depend on the musicians. Boy, isn't that a relief, Judith? Whew. Doesn't depend on us. That's right. It depends on the worshipers. Now, yeah, we can lead people to worship. But you heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to the water trough, but you can't make them drink, right? Can't make them drink. I know that to be true. Riding these endurance trails. Riding these endurance trails, they stop you and they make sure your horse is healthy. And they put a stethoscope to the horse's stomach to see if there are any gut sounds. Don't that sound nice? You know, we as humans try not to have any gut sounds. But you want your horse to have a lot of gut sounds because it tells the veterinarian that he is eating well and he is drinking well. Well, I have an old horse that hardly ever drank. Man, I sat on her head. I dunked her head under the water, everything else. But she said, I am not drinking. You can't make a horse drink. That saying is true. I see you, Joan. You're like, you cannot do it. That's right. And nobody can make you worship. Amen. It's up to you. But the heart that is full of God, the heart that believes, heart that trusts, heart that doesn't doubt, is a heart that's going to gratefully come before the Lord and offer up thanks to the Lord. It's out of the heart. It's not conjured up. It's not manufactured. It is simply out of the heart that overflows worship. So the only thing that's going to change worship in our churches is not our styles and not who leads them. The thing that's going to change the worship is our hearts. Amen. Number six, a healthy heart is happy, and I love this. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, another way in the Proverbs. Okay, what do we find out? That a merry heart doeth good. Amen. A happy heart doeth good. So the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't go around all the time with a false sense of happiness. How many of you have been around somebody that you knew that their smile really wasn't genuine? Go into some clothing store and spend $1,000. And when they smile at you, that's genuine. But go into the clothing store and they just say, welcome, come into our clothing store. They're not genuine yet, right? Because you haven't done anything for them. They're just putting on that fake smile. But when we come every day and live for the Lord, no matter if we've been blessed or we feel like we've been cursed, no matter, as long as God is ours and we're His, we have a special kind of contentment. That's what Paul speaks about. We have a special kind of merriment. We have a special kind of happiness. That's why Paul tells people that when their loved ones die, they don't grieve like the pagans, right, who believe there's no God. They grieve, but they grieve differently because they believe they're going to see their loved ones again. They believe in eternity with God. It's a different type of thing. So we go through life with this joy. We go through life with this happiness. And people that are in love with God, love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, their life's different. And when bad things happen, if we're not living our life in love with God, sometimes we're scratching our head looking at how can they live like that? The difference is not their genetic makeup. The difference is God in their heart. So the merry heart doeth good. We find that out. We also find that the healthy heart is a heart that forgives. Matthew's Gospel. Let me give this to you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 35. Are you staying with me? Are you okay? Or do we need to stop? You okay? Somebody said, oh, me, I think. I don't know. Oh, well. 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. He's talking about forgiveness. If each of you does not forgive his brother with what? With your heart. It's a heart decision. It's a decision that's got to come from the core of my being to forgive someone who has wronged me, someone who has hurt me. It is your decision for someone who has wronged you or hurt you. From the core of your being, you've got to make that decision, a godly decision. It's only when God is all in your heart that when your life flows through that core of your being, it can take the forgiveness out of your heart and put it out into the world. Otherwise, it's going to be picking up the things of the world, and you're going to say vile things, hateful things. You're going to want to retaliate. But it's only the heart that's full of God that can truly forgive and love others. A healthy heart serves other people. This is kind of where we're getting into the other things we're going to be looking at in the following weeks. But in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, look at this text, Acts 13, 22. After he had removed him, he raised up David. Who did he remove? He removed Saul. Who removed him? God did. To be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. What was the problem with Saul, King Saul? He was put there by God, but he wouldn't do what God told him to do. That's what got him in trouble. And then this young man, David, comes along, and David is able to kill Goliath, and people start singing folk songs about David and how Saul can kill thousands of Philistines, but David can kill tens of thousands of Philistines. And Saul gets jealous, and he operates out of the flesh rather than operating out of the things of God. And so God removes Saul from the place of kingship, and he puts David in that place because God says, did he say David's perfect? No. Did David make a lot of bad choices? Yes. But what about David? His heart is bent towards God more than it's bent towards this whole world. And a heart that is bent towards God, God can do things with. And he can serve and work and accomplish great things for him. And so if you have heart trouble, just walking across the room puts you out of breath. Jonathan used to like to walk, and he knew that I wouldn't walk him when he was, you know, getting to that toddler stage. He's holding up his hands, and you know, somebody's got to hold him up and walk. So my papaw discovered a rope that was in the house. I think it was one of those ropes that held the curtains back or something like that. Had a knot on each end, and he gave Jonathan a knot in each hand, and my papaw held the rope in the middle. And he walked around and around into the living room, into the den, into the living room, into the den. It's one of those houses that's got a wall between the living room and the den. You know, now we remove the wall and call it a great room. But anyway, in the 70s and 80s, we had the living room and the den. And you weren't supposed to mess up the living room, and you were supposed to stay in the den. So, but papaw would walk that boy around and around and around and around again. Papaw had heart trouble. Two or three times, papaw would, I got to sit down. Jonathan, bring me the rope. I say, no, you take that papaw. And Jonathan knew who would walk it, so he'd take it to my mamaw. She'd do the same thing. And then eventually, papaw would get back. But his physical heart, he couldn't hold up long, right? That correlates with our spiritual heart. We wonder why we can't serve like other people can serve. We wonder why we can't serve like we used to serve. It's a heart condition. It's a spiritual heart condition. And we've not allowed our hearts to be fed by God, filled with God. So many times at church, people get burnt out. You know why they get burnt out? Because they serve and serve and serve and work and work and work. And before you long, they're serving, they're working, they're operating out of the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. You got to feed your spirit. You got to feed that spiritual heart and make sure that heart is full of the things of God. Well, let me see here. I think there are several others, but let's see if there's something we need where we need to stop. I think we hit it all. Let's just end with this. The healthy heart is a heart that loves, and the scriptures are replete with this as well, this idea. But let's end in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our, what is the word? Hearts, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That love that's in our heart, it doesn't disappoint. The love that we have from God, the love that we give to others, it never disappoints. Because it's been poured out in our hearts. It's been put there by God. And so the only way that we can really love, listen to this, the only way you can really love your spouse the way you're supposed to is not operating out of the flesh, but operating out of the love of God. And Jennifer can testify that so often this preacher operates out of the flesh rather than the things of God. But aren't you glad this preacher's wife's got God flowing in her heart and she puts up with me and she loves me nonetheless? So it's a two-way street, right? And we both need to be operating out of the love, out of the will of God. How we love one another in church. Sometimes it's difficult to put up with somebody. Take Sharon, for example. How do we love Sharon the way she is? Isn't she sweet? We love her with the love of God. How do you love the world who is so hostile and hates anything Christian nowadays? How do you love other churches that are trying to redefine what Christendom is and what the Bible says? says, well, this book's not relative to culture, so we're going to change it. That really doesn't apply to us. The hogwash, right? That book applied thousands of years ago, and it applies today.
Amen.
You cannot change it. You cannot rewrite God's word. His word is perfect because God is perfect. How do you love those people? It's got to be God's love in us that loves those people as well. Before long, if we don't do something about our old hearts, our hearts are going to give out. And we're going to be physically dead. Hope Jesus comes back before that happens to mine. But if we're not real careful, our spiritual hearts are going to give out. And we're going to be spiritually dead. And Jesus addressed that when he's talked to the churches of the churches of Revelation. There are churches that are active and it looks like everything's going well, but spiritually they are dead. So ask yourself this morning, God, what's my heart look like? And God, if you will ask him, will reveal things in your life. He will convict things of in your life. And you can come and you can repent and turn from the ways that you're going, the ways that I'm going, and we can follow God's way. Amen? The only way we're going to see great things happen for God is if we do things God's way. And the only way we're going to do things God's way is have God, his word, filling our hearts, the very center, the very core of our being.